Jumpstart your mornings with the weekday wake up anywhere. Tune in using the SVI Media app or online at svinews.com. This is Duke, Dal, and Dan.
Welcome back in studios at 8:36. Heading into this hour's guest to interview segment. Joining us live in studio is Superintendent Alan Allred from Lincoln County School District number 2. Superintendent Allred, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Duke. How are you doing?
Hey, doing well. Appreciate you coming in today. And of course, a lot of questions from the community and regarding what happened yesterday with the lockdown situation at the high school, lockout at all the other schools. So just walk us through what happened yesterday from the district office and kind of how this scenario played out yesterday morning.
You bet. It was just before 9 o'clock that I received a phone call from the district's SRO, Chris Strang, indicating that there had been some kind of a picture of a Snapchat that had made it to Facebook about a potential attack at Star Valley High School, going to happen around second period. So he had notified all the other law enforcements. I immediately headed with Jason Horsley down to the high school while I had Amanda McAdams and Nate Westcott at the district office, kind of a command center there to put information out, following our district protocols. When we got down there, we discovered that a young man had seen, apparently during the weekend, even Friday or Saturday night on Facebook, this threat to Star Valley High School. And that had been shared with friends and family, and no one had notified law enforcement until about that time in the morning. And that notification, as I understand it, came from another Star Valley High School student who heard about it at school yesterday morning, texted her father, and her father called law enforcement. Thank goodness for that father to give us the heads up. And so we investigated it. We put Star Valley High School in lockdown and the rest of the district in lockout. You know, you never know what kind of ramifications could happen if the harmful intruder came to the high school and saw all the law enforcement. Would they then just go down to Star Valley Middle School or Afton or Osmond or any of our schools? We had them in lockout just to be safe. And I was very impressed. Didn't know until toward the end of the threat that the sheriff's department, the town of Afton, the highway department, they had sent people, even those that were off duty, to all of the schools in the district, including Cokeville, as a safety precaution. I was so impressed with how law enforcement handled this issue. I understand from the young man that reported it, he went back on Sunday night, perhaps, to try and find the Facebook link, and it was gone. It had been removed. And the description of it was, somebody with a half face with a black teardrop or something under his eye or something like that. It was very stressful to all of us to have to go through this, wondering if we were literally going to have an attack. After the research of law enforcement, they determined that it wasn't a credible attack for us right now, and we're probably, with those over 60 a day happening nationwide, these threats to schools, we think we're just a victim of one of those. We're not even really sure it was anybody even local. Can't find any traces with social media on how to determine that. But I know law enforcement is putting forth a lot of effort in to try and clarify where that came from.
We're with Superintendent Alan Allred this morning. So there was no credible threat yesterday when the lockdown ended. Everything continues. There's currently right now, there's no concern or anything like that for the students in the school.
You know, Duke, I have to confess that it's the greatest concern I've ever experienced in my life, being superintendent and fearful of a harmful intruder in our schools. We take it very seriously. We practice our drills often. And so I would never say that it's not a threat. I don't believe this particular one probably is a threat going forward. I'm thinking the possibility it could have been a hoax. It was very real to us. They mentioned second period. They mentioned a few things that I thought was specific enough that we wanted to err on the side of safety. We were cautious about what we did, and I would do it again the same.
We're with, again, Superintendent Alan Allred. From when you go through the protocols of this, What were some of the things you learned yesterday? I know that the district posted on their Facebook page that that this was they're taking this as an opportunity to learn from and to make adjustments and changes. What were some of those specifics?
We learned a lot, you know, for the closest to a wet run as it could be, this dry run really helped us learn a lot. And here's what we did learn. We instantly put out that we were going into precautionary mode on our Facebook page, and we tweeted it out. We didn't want to give any false information. We didn't have a whole lot of information out there. We also communicate with parents through mass email and text blasts. We didn't put that precautionary statement out through mass email and text blasts, which we've changed now in our protocols because we just put it on Facebook and Twitter. And many people, like myself, don't really follow Facebook and Twitter. The other thing we've learned is that many of the parents who didn't receive the information, even when we did send it out with our text blast and our mass emails, didn't receive it because when they registered their child, they didn't sign up to receive text and emails and stuff like that. And so we're again looking at the process of when would we not give them the option to opt out, or we really do need them to opt in and let us know, because there are a variety of family situations where information can't be shared with both parents, apparently, you know, and there are some touchy things that way. So we need the parents to go on our website. We have a link on our website. I think it's underneath announcements, which is on the main website, on how they can get into Infinite Campus and update their information, their telephone numbers, their preferences for communication, be it text, mail, or email, or phone call, whatever it is.
And then that way they're part of that list when the mass communication goes out.
Then they would be part of that list when it goes out. And I believe we sent the link to you for SVI Media.
Correct, so. Yes. Superintendent, I know one of the concerns I've heard, though, is that the lockdown went into effect right around 9 o'clock, right, 9 a.m. A lot of this information didn't come out until about 9:30. I know a lot of parents were concerned that the lockdown had been in place for 30 minutes, and some of the students at the high school had been texting, and a lot of this information had been out on social media before the school made an official statement, and people drive by the high school and see the police presence. And what's your response to that concern that it took about 30 minutes for the school to release any official statements?
So to begin with, it took some time to even know what to release, so that we knew that the threat was credible or what was going on. We did release to Facebook and to Twitter much earlier than that 30 minutes. What we did learn in the process is that we needed to text blast and email that mass email out, that same information at the same time. That's one of the takeaways we took from our practice yesterday that we're going to correct in our protocols. So hopefully that'll get fixed.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure this is going to be an ongoing conversation, you know, moving forward as this investigation continues and what the school district may tweak because of this.
You bet. And you know, I want the parents to know, and I believe I've said it more than one time, we take the safety of our kids very seriously. We practice harmful intruder drills in our schools multiple times a year. I've conducted them personally with Homeland Security and law enforcement in every school this year. We're going to do another one in April and May, and we really want to see how the kids can respond to evacuation. The main thing is that the adults in the building, given accurate communication, need to make choices to save lives. And so we're working on our communication systems with our teachers, with all of our employees, so that they can get information to students to get them out of the building, get them away from harm's way. We're serious about it.
Superintendent, it's been months now, some time since the conversation was heavy as far as teachers carrying guns in the school. What's the latest on that? What's the update from that conversation?
You bet. A year ago, our legislature passed a law allowing for employees to carry a weapon to school for protection. At that point, we presented the law to our school board. We have a school safety committee that is comprised of principals and our transportation director, maintenance people, that look at every ramification of safety continually. They presented that law to the school board just for information. Again, that happened, I believe, last fall, and then again in December, they came with some more information. We have received a sample board policy and procedure from the school board, state school board attorney, Tracy Copenhaver. And I know that the committee's looking at that possible policy and procedure. It's hard to figure out what to do without some kind of policy and procedure that you're looking at. And then I think the board is going to be very cautious about this because a lot of people believe that that's the answer, but I'm not so sure that that's the answer either. Teachers are there to teach and they need to be able to protect kids as well. And it's a difficult thing to determine. But in May, we're planning another meeting in May with the school board where they will be looking at that possible policy and procedure. If they're comfortable with that, they're going to go to the public. They're going to find out what this community would really like to see happen before they move forward. And then with that information, they'll be making some decisions to move forward. Okay. I believe Evanston has passed a policy, and I believe Cody perhaps as well, or they're both in the process. One of the difficulties is the three major insurance companies that deal with schools in the state of Wyoming will drop us immediately if we pass this policy.
So there's always some of the underlying effects.
Exactly. And if we do have a policy where teachers can carry, I wonder what the premium's going to be for that policy.
Right.
It's a difficult thing.
Superintendent Alan Allred in studio with us live this morning, all part of the Weekday Wake Up. And I guess just kind of to bring this conversation to an end and summarize from the threat that was made yesterday morning, that was reported yesterday morning, we should say, from that specific threat, there doesn't appear to be any more concern at this time.
That's my understanding from law enforcement. They're not really sure where it came from. We're not able to track it. We've had our technology people trying to figure out how to track where this came from, and it's just a dead end for us right now.
Well, we'll continue to, of course, keep our listeners updated as we get more information. And Superintendent, while we have you in studio, we did want a little more lighthearted conversation to talk about your career. Of course, just recently announced your retirement. And so the countdown is on 4 months away, and then your replacement will take over.
That's correct. We're choosing my replacement, or they're going to interview tonight and then announce it on Thursday night at 5 o'clock. I've had a wonderful career. As I reflect back, I remember my first month in school as a fifth grade teacher in Wapello, Idaho. That's just between Blackfoot and Firth, little country school, walking up the aisle, giving a spelling test in an afternoon, beautiful afternoon in September, and said to myself, what's a decent fellow like you doing in a situation like this? Come December, you know, it was getting kind of fun to be in that classroom. And then March rolled around, and I thought, wow, I don't want this school year to end. And by the end of the year, I was so emotionally a wreck, I didn't want to let the kids go. And I was hooked. I've been hooked ever since. I've been at it for 41 years. I taught for 3 years in Idaho, became an elementary principal and director of special ed there for 5. I was an elementary principal at Aetna for 8 years, Afton 22 years, and it'll be 3.5 years as your superintendent. So I've had a wonderful career.
It's got to be bittersweet for you.
It is so bittersweet. I just have to tell you, we have a fantastic school district. We have phenomenal families, wonderful kids, powerful teachers and administrators. I am so tickled that the board said, we've got such talent in administration within our district. We're going to look within for your replacement before we look out. And I think that was a wise decision that they made.
Well, we wish you the best moving forward. But of course, as we've talked about this morning, 4 challenging months, of course, still lie ahead. So we appreciate your time, and thanks for coming in.
Thank you.